This is an MUT Radio podcast.
But now I have Professor Balakrishnan. I hope I did pronounce your surname well. Hi, ma'am. How are you doing?
I am fine. Thank you.
We are doing so well. You are looking amazing.
That's very kind. And you too. And thank all you. The kids and all the people in the classroom. Mm-hmm. They're amazingly beautiful.
Thank you so much, ma'am. So let's get on to it. Today we had an event here at North Campus. It was about air pollution. So what inspired you to focus on air pollution and public health in your research?
One of the things that I did not realize about air pollution was, how common it is in terms of exposing both rural and urban populations. Mm-hmm. I trained as a neurophysiologist and then a neurotoxicologist at a very eminent Global North University. But when I started coming, when I came back to India to set up my lab, I realized that, many of my lab exercises don't do justice to the real world situations. So although I was trying to look at laboratory mechanisms by which, air pollution or something else might be affecting the human body, what was more important is when I went to the field, realizing, how many people are being exposed and to understand what they are being exposed. So I decided to switch my focus of research from being entirely lab-based to community-based. And each community-based exercise has only told me how much more important it is to do research that is very relevant to public health and air pollution of the kind, some that you see, some that you don't see. Mm-hmm. So the science of measurements of air pollution and the science of linking them to health is what has excited me about staying in air pollution research.
Okay, so now, what key message did you hope to convey to students or anyone that attended today?
So in MUT, I had a fantastic, experience and a resonance with the audience, mainly because there are very few educational programs as well as research tracks that do actually environmental health. A lot of people do just environment, which is natural sciences, or just health, which is health sciences or medical sciences. But linking them two together is a very complicated exercise because environment is just one part of all that affects health. You need to be sort of really mindful of everything that affects health and add environment to that. And it's a very unique combination of environmental health professionals. And the key messages that I gave to students was this track of environmental health is going to be so important in the face of climate change and health. I talked about air pollution today, but there's water pollution, there is sanitation issues, there is chemical exposure issues, there is hazardous waste issues, there are, access to healthcare issues, nutrition issues. Everything follows the environmental health paradigm. Where are you? What are you getting exposed to? And what is your ability to respond to those exposures? So the key message I wanted to give to the students, and I think I did through my lectures, is look at the paradigm we have for air pollution. It took us so many years to get to where we are. Now we understand air pollution has to be acted upon. But climate is not going to wait for us. So upskill yourself in a way that what we understand about the environment and health really helps the society in a very, very tangible way. And especially the other point I wanted to drive home was, normally when you come to universities and big cities, you don't see the poor and the most vulnerable who are at most risk of being impacted. And just because you don't see it, please don't ignore them. Your research should take into considerations what impacts the most vulnerable first. That's the most important priority. So focus on things, whether they are people living in highly polluted industrial areas or people living in homes cooking with solid cook fuels that exposes them. These are all very vulnerable people. Focus on research that addresses that vulnerability And once they are no longer vulnerable, they will be better prepared for facing the challenge of climate change and human health. And that's where they can, you know, countries like South Africa, institutions like MUT, and countries like India, and my own institution like Shreha, can really add value to the evidence pool.
And I'm sure the question that I'm about to ask you right now is very, okay, let's say even someone at home has the same similar question that I want to ask you right now. It says, how does air pollution in low and middle income countries differ from that developed in other nations?
Yeah. Two or three things. First is that the scale of exposures is very, very large. Most of the low and middle income countries are also highly populous countries. So any source that impacts many, many millions of people. Second is that the exposure is very heterogeneous. We don't have a homogeneity of sources and the ability to regulate even large sources. So the ability to regulate small sources is even small, you know, is even smaller. And therefore, the exposures come from a very complex mix of sources. And the third thing is we have exposures associated with underdevelopment as with over-industrial development. So one of the things that is associated with poverty and underdevelopment is the use of solid cook fuels. People have a source of air pollution right in their homes in rural areas. But because the urban people or the college graduates don't actually see, many of the rural graduates don't even make it to college, or if they come make it to college, they choose to work on things that are not necessarily relating back to their home environment. So household air pollution associated with poverty and ambient air pollution associated with non-sustainable growth, you know, unregulated growth, both are equally important in LMICs. In the high-income countries, it's mostly related to the air pollution problems of overdevelopment. Too many cars, too much, you know, energy consumption, too much recreational activities, too many wildfires that are caused by, you know, development of a different kind. But in LMICs, the problems of underdevelopment coexist. And therefore, it's a very different situation where you are looking at millions of people being exposed throughout their lives to cause vulnerabilities to lots and lots of health conditions.
And last one, Prof, before I let you go, what is one takeaway you hope attendees remember from your lecture?
All of us human beings have a common desire to be well and to be happy. And whether I work in India or whether I work in any other part of the world, when I walked into your hall, I felt as though I have been a part of your family forever. You made us so welcome, and the resonance in our scientific thinking and the resonance in our desire to do good for the society and to make sure that we take along everybody is a very common thread. So thank you for being such a gracious host to me and to my family. My husband is accompanying here with me. So thank you very much for hosting us and making us feel so special and so special about our science as well.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.